guys. It's Eric G. from Around the House, and I am thrilled to announce that our massive back catalog, nearly 1,900 episodes packed with home improvement tips, DIY hacks, and expert advice, is now available for free. Dive into years of inspiration to tackle on your next project. And just a heads up, some podcast players limit how far back you can go. So if you can't find it all, just head straight over to our website, aroundthehouseonline.com, and listen to every episode there. Don't miss out. Start binging today. And thanks for tuning in to Around the House.
You on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio.
You gotta get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, where I want you to call in and be on the radio at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. If you're listening to the podcast, this is hour number two. And speaking of that, so if you are going to listen to this where you missed last hour, we had a bunch of great calls. You want to dive in and listen to that? You missed it? No worries. Go to aroundthehouseonline.com, and then you can subscribe to the SoundCloud or iTunes, and it's all right there. You can go back 5 years ago and hear what we were talking about. That's how far this thing goes back. You can listen to everything right there. Well, let's jump back out here to Laura in Portland, because she called in, and we were talking fences, which is kind of one of the subjects we were talking about today. So, Laura, let's talk about this 4-foot chain link fence that you've got that you want to add a little bit to it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Here's the thing that I would be
wondering if you could.
Yeah. What I would be tempted to do with this is how old is this chain link fence? Is this something that's been there for a while, or is this a newer fence that was put in?
Oh, it's been there a long time.
Okay.
Probably since right after the house was built in 74.
Okay. Depending on how far apart they put those posts, and if they use the heavier gauge steel, sometimes, and there's a big if here, that you can actually reuse those posts and use those to support the, if they use the heavier, bigger posts, you could actually use that with the clamps and actually put a cedar fence and still reuse those posts and replace that. But we're in kind of a hurry going to break before the hard break at the top of the hour. But my concern is it's very hard to extend those posts back up, you know, height-wise, because you're almost better to do it right, especially when you're dealing with safety. If you're worried about that that dog on the other side, and if it's a kind of a personal safety thing you're doing, I don't really have a great way to add on height to that without starting over.
Okay. So if there's no, like, post sleeve you can stick over it that would go from the bottom all the way to the top?
Sure. I mean, you could do something like that, but I'd be honest, you'd probably be taking, you know, you'd have to take all the chain link fabric down. You'd have to probably put a larger, like, end post over the top of that, and then I'd be telling you to try to fill it up with, like, a concrete slurry or something to fill those up. There's a lot of work involved with that, and sometimes it might just be better to go ahead and put a cedar or the larger chain link along there, depending on how much you want to see your neighbors.
Okay. Well, we'll contemplate those possibilities then.
All right. If you want to send me some pictures of it, go ahead and send it over to ETH at KXL, and we'll see if I can try to help you find some options for that.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Hey, thanks for being so patient and listening to Around the House. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Thanks. Hey, let's run out here to Dan in Kalama. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi, Eric. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, I just wanted to thank you again for the shout-out a couple weeks ago after you came up and visited us in Kalama.
Dude, you guys are awesome up there.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. I mean, we could have showed you so much more, but, you know, time is time. But my question today, it has to do with the Trex deck.
Yep.
And my wife and I were going to replace the old outdoor wood deck that's off of our upper patio with the southeast exposure. So it gets that southern sun, but I know that Trex, especially the older stuff, got exceptionally hot to the feet when you walk on it. And I'm just curious, have they improved that technology now. It's similar to the metal roof systems where it's infrared reflective. Or are we still just going to have to either suck it up and wear slippers or...
No. And I was teasing this at the last hour, and I'm going to give you the answer here. And then we're going to talk about your company for a minute because it relates to somebody else we were talking about a little bit earlier. But there's a company out there, and I ran into these guys at the big Building Industry Association, big, huge, International Builder Show out in Orlando. And it's made by a decking company called Moisture Shield. So it's Moisture Shield is the company, but they've got a new decking that is a cool deck product. So it does exactly what you're talking about. It reflects the heat and doesn't hold it. And it was amazing to watch how well that worked and how cool it was. They had heat lights on it compared to a regular composite deck versus this. And this is something I'd want to put on my place, man.
Yeah, we did that same thing with the metal. When metal roofing went to the cool pigments, we did that in shows with the heat lamps. And you were seeing a good 40-degree difference in temperature in surface touch, and that, which is good because in roofing, it transfers that heat through into your home.
Exactly. So, exactly. Hey, let's talk about your company for a minute that you work with out there. I came and visited you guys, and I was shocked at how big a facility you guys have and how much metal roofing materials that you do for the country out of that place.
You do a considerable ton. We do about 500,000 tons a year.
Yeah. It's impressive, man. It's impressive. And maybe we can do some more stuff and get you guys in the studio to talk about that sometime. But I tell you what, for metal roofing and then the new colors and stuff out there, there are some impressive uses for the stuff that you guys do.
It's something that we're developing more and more, every month. We're coming out with all kinds of new stuff, and it's amazing. It's not your granddad's tin roof, is what we like to say about it. It's evolving like as with everything else in the building industry that you need these days.
Exactly. And if all you people out there that are listening right now, jump over to steelscape.com, and you can take a look at these guys up here. I went and visited their factory, and impressive on our own backyard here. And to be honest, I didn't even know these guys existed until, Dan, you got a hold of me from listening to the show. And thanks for inviting me to see that big, massive steel mill you guys have up there. That is impressive.
No, thanks for coming out. And thanks for the answer there. And Weather Shield, you said what's the name of it?
Moisture Shield. I'll send you an email with the link on it. That way you got it, because I got your information.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Eric.
All right. Thanks for listening, man. And thanks for being a part of Around the House. Great. Well, that was we were just talking metal roofing and stuff earlier. And Steelscape is a big company out there that actually builds. They kind of pre-build the metal roofing, if I want to talk about this, and gets it out to manufacturers out there that do their own thing with it. So these guys are kind of they've got a big factory up there, and it was impressive. And I talked about it a few weeks ago when I was up there, but we went up there and took a look at that place, and very impressive facility, and I've driven by it 100 times and worked in the home improvement building industry, and I had no idea it was there. So cool people up there. Well, I want to get your calls at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. And we're going to talk about earthquakes coming up here. We've talked about fencing a little bit, and I just wanted to touch on that. Make sure you go out and check that fencing. But I want to dive into kind of some of the numbers that we've talked about that came on here about the earthquake that's going to hit the Northwest that could affect all of our buildings. And I want to talk about that when we come back. But I want to take your calls at 877-733-1011 just as soon as Around the House returns. Today from Around the House. We're having a good time here on Saturday. I'm going to have to get my Guinness on a little bit later on today because, well, it's the day to do that. Or as sometimes I call when people go out, there's a lot of places to go out and have a good time. It can also be amateur hours, so be careful out there. Can be a little bit dangerous. Well, I want to get your calls in here, 877-733-1011. We've had some great calls so far. And, you know, we were talking about building some pretty good projects. But, you know, again, if you're sitting there, you know, trying to figure out, scratching your head, what I'm going to do with this water heater, give me a call. You got a problem with that toilet? Give me a call. You know, these are all things that we help with. You trying to figure out what color to paint the outside of your house? Give me a call. 877-733-1011. Because, you know, that's what we do here. I try to help you answer your questions. Well, you know, hey, this segment is brought to you by Western Construction Systems. More rain is coming. If you got a leaky basement issue, call Western Construction Systems for a free and reasonable estimate. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty guaranteed, and their Oregon CCB number is 94222. Thanks for sponsoring Around the House with Eric G. Well, let's talk about the big one. Another one of those studies came out this week, and I know some people are going to roll their eyes and say, oh, they're fear-mongering and all that other stuff, but there's some serious numbers in here, and, you know, I didn't really pay attention to earthquakes that much until I was mid-span on the Tacoma Narrows Bridge for the Nisqually earthquake up in the Seattle area, and watching that bridge doing like I was on the set for the San Andreas movie, wishing the Rock was going to come over and grab a bunch of cars off that thing. You know, I was looking forward to that. That was a rough ride. But we've been talking about earthquakes and all that stuff around here. But there's a new report that came out Thursday by the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, and it included some pretty big numbers. And I read this in the Oregonian. I posted it up on the Facebook page Around the House with Eric G. It's a great article about this. They're saying that in the worst-case scenario, the metro areas could see more than $80 billion in building damage, tens of thousands of people wounded or killed, and more than 250,000 people facing long-term displacement. That's a big deal. And, you know, this comes down to, we've talked a lot about getting ready for natural disasters and, you know, getting your water, getting your food, all those important things that we should have. But this really raises a bigger issue out there with buildings out there. I mean, there's some kind of big numbers in here of just in the Portland metro area. You know, there's the Portland Hills Fault that runs basically, for all you locals here, goes from Oregon City to Scappoose. So it basically cuts diagonally right across the metro area. And I tell you what, it's kind of a big deal. This could take down a bunch of different buildings, you know, and they're saying that we've had a ton of, you know, ton of earthquakes over the years. But one thing that I wanted to hit on this, if a magnitude 9.0 earthquake were to strike along the Cascadia subduction zone at 2 a.m., they're estimating 4,400 to 10,400 casualties, ranging from minor injuries to fatalities. And then between 9 and 14% of the buildings in the area, which is more than 600,000, would be lost. And that's a $23 billion to $36 billion hit to the economy here. That's a big deal. So I want to talk about this a little bit, but the thing is if it happens in the afternoon, those numbers nearly double because everybody's in buildings downtown, they're on the freeways, all those things going on. So we're going to dive into that in a minute because there's some solutions out there that are going to kind of change how this works, but I want to get into these figures a little bit more. But like I've always said, when you call in at 877-733-1011, you call in, you get front of the line. And we've got that Bill in North Bend. Welcome to Around the House.
Hello.
Hey, what can I help you with today?
Hey, I've got some rust stains on my driveway from some vehicles that sat there and stained it pretty bad. And I tried that CLR stuff, and that didn't seem to touch it. I thought about using some uric acid. It is a exposed aggregate driveway, so
okay.
Would the muriatic acid be a solution? Or,
you know, that does. Yeah. That's going to clean up everything and really kind of etch into that. There are some little kinder ways of doing it. I've had some luck in the past just using white vinegar. That can take some of that out off of concrete. Yeah. I've used that. There are products out there that you can get in the home improvement stores. You know, there's a product called Iron Out that can work pretty well. There's a product that says it'll work. I haven't worked, but I've heard some people say it's worked pretty well. That's called Crud Cutter. It's a concrete and driveway pressure washer kind of concentrate that's supposed to knock that down. There's a lot of different products out there. I would try the white vinegar first, and then, you know, the muriatic acid is going to etch that whole thing, and it's going to kind of open up the pores and do that. If you're going to do that, and I've done it before, it works pretty well on cutting some of that stuff down with it and really taking off that top level of that. But I would go back and seal that thing afterwards, and that way you kind of get that. If you're going to go that far, you might as well finish the rest of the way, if you know what I mean, especially with exposed aggregate.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty big driveway, and the only thing I don't like about muriatic acid is if you get too much of it or too concentrated on there, the little, it's like a pea gravel in the rock will pop out.
I was going to say, that's where I was just going with that, is if you do that too much, it's going to sit there and do that. Now, there is something that you can get on Amazon that I've heard as well. I haven't used this product, but it's actually called Rid Rust, and it's actually a product that can actually work on it as well. You might take a look. I don't know if there's any stores around that carry it, but I know that it's available online. And that might be a one. It's a rust stain preventer as well. And so that might be another thing that could work for you as well. But I would try a few of the solutions out there before you got the acid out, because that's kind of the nuclear option, as you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Bill. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to Around the House. Let's run out here to Rob in Forest Grove. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, how are you today?
Good
to
man.
From you. Hey, just curious. I've got some getting some concrete work done.
Okay.
And so I'm paying for him to do the work, and then I have to pay for the concrete.
Yep.
And so I'm trying to figure out how much should I estimate for to purchase the concrete. So basically, he's doing the manpower, and it's about $4,000.
Okay.
But then I got a budget for the concrete itself, and I'm just kind of curious.
Okay. One thing I'll tell you, too, just make sure whoever this concrete person is, that they're licensed, bonded, insured. Because I tell you what, I've seen more projects recently where there's been some guys that have been doing that, that they've had some pretty horrible jobs done. And if they're not licensed, bonded, insured, there's no way to go back on them. And now you own a big piece of concrete out there that you got to get rid of and start over again. So that's my first thing I'd tell you. Make sure that that's covered, so you're covered on your investment with that. Every time I've done this, I've actually had my concrete guy, you know, go through and tell me how much concrete he needs, because I want to have that kind of accountability that he or she that's doing this concrete work is, I'm going to get them exactly what they want, because it ends up being a problem if you end up having to do that. And if you own those numbers, you could have a bunch of different problems there. So I'd have them tell you. If not, there's some calculators out there, but I'd make sure they give you those numbers.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have
all
a
right.
Great day.
You too. Thanks, Rob. Hey, we'll get back. We'll jump into Dave here. When we come back, 877-733-1011 to get back in line on the phones as soon as Around the House returns. Eric G. with Jade playing in the house today. That's probably one of our only holiday tunes we're playing today, because we've got Mixmaster Dane Vodder in there rocking the music center in there, throwing all these things together. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody out there. Well, hey, we've been talking everything from decks to building things to earthquakes. We've been diving into this stuff, and I want to get your calls at 877-733-1011. But let's run out here to Dave in Beaverton. Welcome to Around the House.
Yeah, hello, Eric. This is Dave.
Hey, what can I help you with today?
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well.
Thank you, man.
So the guy with the shed roof, he wants to put metal up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the spans is only the basic part. When you run the metal, you want to have the seams attached firmly.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, each piece comes in.
Yep.
Well, the last time I looked, it's all 36-inch pieces, Par Lumber, Home Depot, and that. So,
yeah, if you're getting off the shelf there, your
joists won't work. Well, yeah, they will work, but you would have to put the 2x4s on perpendicular, like that guy's friend told him.
Yep.
But at the small area, I go 16-inch centers.
Yep.
So you got these 36-inch pieces, and you got the seams and the beginning and end points firmly on the joist.
Correct. Yeah, it's just been depending on where you're getting the material at, because, you know, there are a bunch of different sizes these days out there. And, of course, if you're just looking at the home centers, then, of course, you're limited to basically what they got on the shelf. But, you know, I was out at Steelscape looking at some of the stuff they do out there. And, man, there are so many great selections out there with metal roofing these days, from different sizes to different colors and different finishes. There's a lot of good choices out there these days.
Yeah, so what he picks is very important, how you want to run those joists. And he's got this small, sounds like a small project.
You got it. Well, hey, Dave, thanks for listening around the house, and thanks for calling into the tip. I appreciate it.
You got it.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Let's jump out here to Shirley and Gresham. Welcome to Around the House.
Thank you.
What can I help you with?
My neighbor has put a fence to the back of my property, and it's cedar. It looks cedar.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to preserve that cedar look rather than, you know, have it go to the weathered look.
Sure.
Is there an easy way to do it? It's probably about a 10-section fence long.
Yeah. I mean, there's different ways of doing it back there. You know, first off, you want to make sure that cedar gets nice and dry, and so you got all that moisture out of there so you can actually do it. But I would use one of the good penetrating oil sealers out there. Those are kind of my favorite, because I think, at least my experience on this side of the mountains, that the oil in there sure seems to me last a little bit longer and soak into that cedar. I've used a lot of the different waterborne finishes, and I've had a few more issues there with it not lasting as long, but you know, I've used products, and again, I don't have anybody that's a sponsor that's telling me what I can say with this stuff, but and not that they do anyway, but I don't have a favorite one there. And so my point is I've used products like Penafin and some of these really deep penetrating. I've gotten 10 years out of a finish on a protected, you know, cedar fence before that looked great with a darker color. And even if you get half of that, you're doing pretty good on those. And those oil sealers will last a long time on a fence.
Okay. So the oil is the secret then, yeah.
That's my favorite. And again, the water, every year the waterborne finish stuff gets better. But, you know, it's a little bit more to clean up. But you can get out there and put that stuff on. And it's not it's a Saturday, Sunday project if you get out there. But, you know, I would go oil. That's just my old school favorite. But the waters are getting better, I will say.
Well, thanks. That will be a big help. Thank you.
All right. And just make sure you follow those directions, because they all have these very specific directions on the side, and that'll help get you there.
All righty. Good. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for calling, Shirley. That's a great call right there. You got to be careful with those finishes out there. And this time of year, it's super hard to get the right conditions to do that out there, because you want that to be really nice. You just want that really nice and dry, so it gives it a place to go with many of the sealers out there. So, well, hey, we've been talking earthquake here, and I do want to get your calls, because, of course, if you call in at the last minute, I'm going to either rush you or I'm going to have to say I can't get to you. So 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. We just cleared some lines up there. And I don't care if you're fixing that toilet or if you're fixing the fence. We can help you right now. So we've been talking about the earthquakes as it being a big issue. And there are some big problems when you look at how these earthquakes could hit the Northwest here, because we have so many. And I'm going to be talking more about this. We've got so many unreinforced buildings around here, from old residential foundations to old buildings downtown that up until now, there's been, you know, some pretty expensive options to retrofit these things. And Simpson Strong Tie is coming out with, and I was down talking with them at the world of concrete, you know, Western Construction System sent me down there, and I got a really great concrete education talking to people, and I hung out with the guys from Simpson Strong Tie down there, and, you know, they're the ones who build all these brackets for fixing your deck or your fence or anything else, including my March Madness bracket, which you can see on Around the House Facebook page, which is ATHKXL if you haven't liked it. And take a look at my bracket over there. I think it's a perfect bracket, and I so far I don't have anybody arguing that it's not, so head over to the Facebook page with that. But Simpson Strong Tie has developed a super cool system that I think is going to change how people retrofit any of these old brick, concrete, whatever buildings out there that are unreinforced. And I think that's going to start, you know, in my opinion, make a big difference out there, because there's now a more cost-effective way to do it. And actually what happens is they can actually go in and spray on the inside of a concrete block or brick unreinforced building. It's a half inch thick of this special mortar, and it's called an FRCM system. You've heard me talk about it a few times, but then they put this mesh, carbon fiber mesh in that mortar, and then spray on another half inch. So it takes up an inch. You'd have to put a whole new big steel system in many cases, or a new concrete wall in behind it. So there's ways to retrofit that now to keep those brick and block and unreinforced concrete together. And so you can do that in a big brick building, a big brick warehouse downtown. You could do it in your own basement that's a terracotta block. So I'm really excited to see that there are some options out there for people that are actually, you know, going to be cost-effective solutions, because cost-effective means that there's going to be more people that can afford to dive into it, because so many old buildings are out there, and when you've got an old building and it's so expensive to sit there and retrofit it, people don't want to touch it. So I'm really excited that there's a lot of stuff out there that's going to be really game-changing for getting our buildings, you know, in Portland and any of these metro areas up to an earthquake resistance, because I think that's kind of the thing that I didn't realize. I mean, when I was in Seattle, I came my work right to my work that I worked in downtown, and we had a lot smaller quake. It looked like Armageddon down there with brick facades laying in the street, and I had, you know, the place that I usually pull up, and if I had to run into the office real quick, my spot that I parked in, the parking meter was facing down from the bricks that fell on top of it. So to me, it's something really real that we need to take care of and really talk about a little bit more. And I'm going to have some more conversations about this in the future, because I think it's something that we can all do to help each other out, because if this happens, it's going to be a mess. Well, one more segment left when we get back. Well, maybe could fit one call if you want to call in, but we'll talk more Around the House as soon as we return. Radio. On our very fun St. Patrick's Day Saturday here. Well, man, this has been a great show, and we're going to try to fit in one more call here. Man, we got so much going on today. I love it. Let's run it to David and Camus. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man.
I'll try to cram this in. I know we're at the top of the hour. I'm kind of at my wit's end with a drywall contractor. This is actually a new construction situation.
Okay.
They're having a heck of a time with the peak of a vaulted ceiling in the great room. There's that creased strip of stuff that goes right into the peak. I think they call it no coat.
Yep.
And for the life, they've tried three times and they can't get the stuff to stick. It looks okay after they mudded up there. It even looks okay after they threw texture up. But it seems like by the time the texture dries, the no coat has lifted, and there's very, very, very visible lines at the right at the crease and the peak, and then at the edges of the no coat. And they just keep doing the same thing over and over again, it seems like, which is mudding over the texture and then, you know, sanding it all down and then trying to throw up more no coat. So I wonder if you, this kind of that ultimate definition of insanity, wonder if you had something to get us off the hamster wheel.
You know, here's the thing with that up there, and when you've got these vaulted ceilings, that corner up there is such a flexible area. And that thing, when they come in there and mud over the top of that, that thing loves to crack up there. And that's going to be a trouble issue all along the way. What kind of texture are you doing up there? Is it just a simple orange peel, or what are you doing for texture in that?
I think the color orange peel that's on the walls, but it's a little bit, you know, tiny bit different on the ceiling.
Okay, more of a knockdown, or they spray it a heavier texture and knock it down?
I don't even think they knock it down.
Okay.
It's mud and they're done. It's pretty light. It's not like the old school popcorn stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, that's one of those issues that I'm surprised that they're struggling that much with it. You know, and the problem is the more work they do up there is the more visible that's going to be with that type of texture up there. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would have what have they done? I mean, I'd be tempted almost to maybe skim coat over the top of that, but I'm just concerned that it's going to bust out on you.
Well, that's the thing. They've got three layers up there now of skim coating over the texture so that they can, try the no coat all over again and then texture it again. There's quite the sandwich up there. The most recent theory was that, well, the drywall is separating from the trusses, so they added some nails to the drywall near the peak up
yep.
to about 16 inches on either onto the left and right of the peak, thinking that it was maybe sagging or separating or moving somehow. But no avail.
See, the problem we got with new construction, I've only got a little bit of time left, but one I wanted to say is with new construction, you've got that thing moving around so much because you've got wood that's damp and the house is trying to acclimate, and so you've got a lot of movement right off the bat, which you're struggling with. I'll be honest, if that was me for now, I would quietly kind of sit back and let them keep taking a stab at it, and I know it's madness and I know it's crazy, but I would kind of just hold them accountable to getting it right. But there's going to be a point that they're going to have to strip that all off and start over again, and it seems like you're getting close to that point.
Yeah, they've actually, we're over 2 weeks into it, their attempt to redo the ceiling to get the peak right, primarily the peak, but there were some kind of rolly issues in mm-hmm. other areas too. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
David, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you send me some pictures of that if you can take some and email them me to ATH@KXL, and I'll see if I can come up with some answers for you as well, and I'll do a little digging with your pictures.
Slick. I do have pictures. I'll appreciate that. Sure.
All right, man. Yeah, thanks. Send that over ATH@KXL. I'll get back to you this week.
Outstanding. Great talking to you. Thank
All right.
You
so thanks for listening, man. Jeez, this show blasted by. Thanks, everybody else, for calling in because, man, what a crazy week. It is good. Well, man, that is all the time we got this week. Our thank you to Dane Vodder for making the show sound great, and Master Donovan, who rocked the communication center. Most of all, though, we want to thank you for listening and want you to join us next week from noon to 2, where once again we talk about maintenance, repair, designing for remodeling, and renovation of your home. I'm going to have a realtor in here talking about home sales and what you can do to your house. Until then, be sure you do what you love. Love what you do. This is the Radio Northwest Network. I'm Eric G., and you've been listening to Around the House.
Hey folks, Jim here, producer of Around the House Show. You're loving the audio tips right now, but here's something new. Our full-length episodes and expert interviews are now on YouTube as video, so you can watch the demos, tool close-ups, and guest interviews, or just hit play and listen like a regular podcast. Just search Around the House Show on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, and turn on notifications. It's free. And you'll get the best of both worlds, visual how-tos when you want them, audio when you're on the go. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app too. Thanks. And now back to the show.